Today I will talk about the identification of quantum theory from operational approach. So I am a PhD student at Indian Statistical Institute, and these topics concerns my PhD works. I will talk about two of my PhD works, and this is my plan of talk. So why do we study GPT? So we know that GPT is a broader class of theories from which classical theory and quantum theory emerges. And it has some motivation from the foundational perspective as well as from operational perspective. So what are the foundational perspective? So to study GPT, it is our responsibility to answer such questions like, what geometrical or mathematical structure do we need to represent nature? So, you can say why nature is quantum, or what is the physical theory, for being physical theory, what structure we will adopt, such kind of questions. And the next foundational question is, can we axiomatize quantum theory? Or there are some other questions like, we know that there are several non-classical phenomena which is shown by quantum theory. But are the non-classical phenomena only belong to quantum theory, or there are some other theories in which the phenomena can the phenomena will be exhibited or not? And the operational motivation, to talk about the operational motivation, we can consider that the device independent certification of quantum resources is a very active area of research today. So we can frame a operational task, a device independent operational task, and give a bound give a threshold bound of the payoff of the task. And in laboratory, we by looking on the payoff function, or by looking on the payoff quantity, we can infer that what resources are used for accomplishing the task. So in laboratory, we have some device from which some preparations are emitted. So there are certain preparations, and we observe some property on that preparations, that is, we measure some observable, and we see the outcomes of the observables. In the meantime, we can transform the preparation, the certain preparation, in our desired preparation, and then we observe the property and something like that. So, for any operational theory, there are the fundamental notions like preparations, transformations, and measurements. And a natural question arises: what by which mathematical object we can express the state of a preparation? So you see, we observe some properties in lab, and we get some probabilities in our hand. So there are different and a lots of measurement, allowed measurement in any theory. So the state is actually the list of probabilities of that observables, of that observables, and to describe a state, we need a minimum number of observables, and the list of, and by looking on the list of probabilities, by looking on the list of outcome probabilities, we can infer the state uniquely, and the set of that minimum minimum measurements we call this the fiducial measurement set. And we know that for two level quantum system, the fiducial set of measurements involve three non coplanar measurement settings. So we can say that the list of probabilities as a vector in a real vector space. So by principle, any physical system can be associated with a real vector space. And suppose we have these two devices, the red one and the blue one, and the red one emits the state omega I and the blue one emits omega j. So if omega I and omega j are valid states, then their convex combination, that is p omega I and 1 minus p omega j, it will also be a valid state. So the state space must be a convex set. So this convex combination holds for all omega I omega j of a state space omega a, and we can conclude that the state space must be a convex set. Now what about the observable, the mathematical description of observable? So by observable we mean the measurement of some properties of a state. So suppose this is our measurement device in which the input state is omega, and we see the ith result is getting clicked. So we have the EI effect with a valid probability, and the probability is given by EI on omega, which is definitely a value between 0 to 1. So all the effects is mapping the state space to 0 to 1. So we can say that the effect space is a mapping from the state space omega a to 0 1, and in the effect space we can construct a unit effect u such that u on all omega gives us 1. That is, for all omega, the effect u must click. So we can say that the sum of the probability, all the probability for any measurement device is equal to the sum of all the probability, the sum of all the effects on input state omega, and it will give us the effect u on omega, which will be 1 definitely. And we can associate the effect space EA as a functional, and we define any effect EK on a convex combination of states omega I and omega j will act linearly. So these effects, these EI effects, will be the linear functional for any theory. Now, the study of GPT mainly executed by two different approach. One is generalized no signal correlation, and the other one is generalized state space. By generalized no signaling correlation, we mean that the correlation will respect the no signaling principle. And by studying the correlation, what will be the structure of our theory? And in this category, we will look on the geometrical structure of the state space instead of the correlation. We can construct a state space, a geometric structure of state space, and depending on the state space, we can construct the geometry of the effect space, and so on. So whenever we are talking about the no signaling correlation in 2-2-2 scenario, The cross section of the no signaling correlation is given by this picture. So this red portion is the collection of all local correlation. This yellow portion is the quantum correlation, and the rest of these are the other no signaling correlation. We know that the Cyrillian bound is the bound for which the which actually derives the maximum maximum Bell violation given by the quantum correlations, right? And this IC principle, we know that beyond this principle, we can say confirmly that this correlation is unphysical. If information causality principle gets violated, the correlation will definitely be unphysical. But the satisfaction of this information causality, we cannot say anything. So now I am going to my thesis topic. So I will consider different type of convex sets, and which are obviously the two-dimensional polygons. So why polygons? Because one reason is that it will asymptotically represent the equatorial plane of quantum theory. And another reason is this polygon state space, all the polygon state space mimic many non-classical phenomena of quantum theory, like Bell violation or like some other phenomena. And in these papers, the authors have considered such structures, and they have provided so much phenomena which is also exhibited in quantum theory. So these are the state space and effect space structure in Evengon polygon state space. So this is the states, these omega at the states, and this quantity actually defines the normalization of the state space, and these the effects and the if and the pure effects are like this. So the pure effects are the EIs and the unit effect and the null effect. This unit effect actually normalizes the state spaces. This is the state space and effect space structure, and this is the 3D view of the state space and effect space structure. So in that theories, we must have the notion of distinguishable states. So we can say that two states can be perfectly distinguishable if the supporting hyperplanes which contains the states are parallel. So we can draw a parallel hyperplanes containing the states which we want to discriminate. And these are the structure of the state and effect spaces of Ortogon theory. And you see that for the Evengon, the effect space is slightly rotated compared to the state space, but for the Ortogon, the effect space and the state space are in same footing. So, and also, we have to construct the transformation in those theories. So the transformation in these theories are the reflection and rotation. Actually, we are considering the reversible transformation, not the other transformation at all. And we can also construct the bipartite composition of such state and effect spaces. So for the bipartite composition of state spaces, this is the minimal structure. This is the minimum, we call it the minimal state space in which we just consider the product states. product states. And for the effect space also, these are the minimal effect spaces in which we are considering just the product effects. And what about the maximal maximal state spaces? That is, the maximal state spaces is defined as the states for which the product effects will give a valid probability. And similarly, for the maximal effect spaces is defined as the maximal effect space for which the product states will give you the valid probability. And for bipartite case, the transformation are considered as the swap operation and the tensor product of two reversible transformation. So in this way, we can model the GPTs in these three categories. The type one considers all the whole state space, that is all the product states and the joint states and beyond the product states. Obviously, these are the joint states, but only the product effects. In type two, only the product states are considered, but the effect space is up to the maximal effect. And in this category, that is in the type one category, we can consider the PR model, which is known as the Boxwald in literature. And in type two category, we can consider the HS model, and the HS model is described in this paper. And in type three, we can consider the intermediate of the type one and type two, that is some of beyond product states and some of beyond product effects are considered in this category. So quantum falls in this category because we have entangled states and entangled effects, which cannot be written as the product of two states, right? And also the hybrid and frozen model fall in this category. Now I'm going to describe my first work. So this is information symmetry, and we will see the status of information symmetry in quantum theory as well as in the polygon theory. This symmetry actually is a kinematical symmetry. All the symmetry principle in literature we know are the dynamical symmetry, but we propose this symmetry from a kinematical approach. And considering this principle, we cannot bother about the party of or the systems. You can take only one system, or you can take a multipartite system to consider this type of symmetry. I mean, this symmetry actually involves a party independent symmetry. So in classical theory, how you discriminate states? So you have two objects, a red one and a blue one, and you have to answer which one is red and which one is blue. If you are provided with sufficient data, you can perfectly discriminate between those states. But for quantum theory, in classical theory, state discrimination actually implies perfect discrimination. So there is no such states which cannot be discriminated perfectly in classical theory. But in quantum theory, there are states which can be perfectly distinguishable, but there are also some states which cannot be perfectly distinguishable, though we don't have any subjective ignorance. So for perfect discrimination, suppose psi and psi, we are considering the states psi and psi perpendicular. So these states are perfectly distinguishable if the inner product between those states equal to zero. And if we take phi and xi, and if we take the inner product of these states, this is not actually zero. So there comes the idea of probabilistic discrimination. And for probabilistic discrimination, you can consider the minimum error state discrimination or the unambiguous state discrimination. But for describing this work, we only need the minimum error state discrimination concept. So in minimum error state discrimination, you have a device, and suppose you have only two outcomes for this device, the EI and EJ, and you have an input port by which a state omega I or omega j will be inputted. So we can say that if EI gets split, we will say that the state is omega I. And if EJ is split, we will say that the state is omega j. But for probabilistic discrimination, it is possible that if the state is omega I and still the effect EJ is getting clipped, so there are some errors. So for minimum error, the minimum error probability is given by half of p probability of getting the effect EI when the state is omega j, and plus the probability of the effect probability of getting the effect EJ when the state is omega I. So we have coined this term as Pij and Pji, and we have proposed this symmetry, the generalized information symmetry, like that. If each pair of states having identical minimal type of subjective ignorance, and these states can be optimally discriminated with symmetric error measurement, then we will call that this theory satisfies the generalized information symmetry principle or the GIS principle. So what is meant by identical minimal type of subjective ignorance? So minimal type of subjective ignorance, we mean that suppose you have the state omega I, you can decompose omega I in terms of omega m and omega n, where omega m and omega n are perfectly distinguishable. So omega I is a convex combination of two perfectly distinguishable states, and same for the omega j. So this type of decomposition is called as minimal type, is called to have minimal type of subjective ignorance. And these states omega I and omega j will have the identical minimal type of subjective ignorance when this weight p equals the weight q. And GIS will be satisfied by any theory if Pij equal to Pji, this is the error probability actually, for any pair of states. Now, for quantum theory, suppose we have these two states, rho 1 and rho 2. Rho 1 is given by that, and rho 2 is given by that. And rho 1 and rho 2 will have identical minimal subjective ignorance when the mod of R1 equals the mod of R2. And the minimum error state discrimination measurement will be performed along this direction, that is R1 minus R2 dot sigma. And Hellstrom have shown that by this measurement, the probability is the error probability actually is symmetric. So we can say that for quantum theory, the GIS principle is satisfied. Now we consider a theory which have the square state space. And we consider these two states, omega and omega prime, where omega is decomposed in this way, where omega 1 and omega 2, you see that these two states are perfectly distinguishable because we can draw a hyperplane which contains omega 1 in this direction and a hyperplane which contains omega 2 in this direction, and these two hyperplanes are definitely parallel. So omega and omega prime have identical minimal type of subjective ignorance, and we see that, and we have shown in our paper that these if we consider these two states, then the minimum error state discrimination measurement will not satisfy the GIS principle. That is, the error is not symmetric. The error probability is a function of these angles. Actually, we have shown in this in our paper. And so we have considered the quantum theory and the square state space, but what about the other polygons in this context? So if we just ignore the subjective ignorance, that is, if we consider the pure states, then the information symmetry principle actually states that each pair of pure states can be optimally discriminated with symmetric error measurement. So the minimum error measurement, we get the error symmetrically for each pair of pure states. And evidently, this is a example of Ortogon theory, and this is an example of Evengon theory. And for both the theories, we have shown that since these angles are not equal and the error probability is a function of these angles, so we can say that information symmetry cannot be satisfied by any Ortogon or Evengon theory. And
could you give any intuition as to why that is the minimal error state discrimination measurement, like in this hexagon which you have in the bottom right corner?
Yes, we have proved that in our paper that this is the measurement, this is the minimum error measurement. We have proved in our paper. Okay, so you can check it in other way also, but you cannot get better than this result. We have proved in our paper this.
And it's unique that's the only measurement which gives you minimum error. Like, there's no other measurement which also gives you
the same minimum. There is also another measurement in the hexagon or in this pentagon theory, from which you can get the minimum error, but the error quantity is the same.
And this principle of symmetric error measurement says that no measurement can have symmetric error if it's optimal, or there is some measurement which is optimal but has asymmetric error.
No, there is no measurement in those theories which is symmetric in errors. The minimum error measurement will not have the symmetric error. The principle states like that.
Thanks.
There is no measurement. Okay. We cannot construct no measurement. We can construct no measurement in those theories, which will give us the minimum error as well as the error is distributed symmetrically. For these Evengon and these Ortogon theories, we cannot construct any such measurements. So for IS, so what is the status of information symmetry in the context of the square state space? So you see that for square state space, all the states, all the pure states are pairwise distinguishable. So here the information symmetry is vacuously true. Okay. Now I am going to my second work, which is a task of distributed computation, and we will see the status of this task in quantum theory and beyond the quantum theory. So earlier, there are several information processing tasks in which quantum theory behaves in a limited way. So you can consider the Bell game or the hypersignaling game. So in Bell game, gearbox gives you the maximum payoff. And in hypersignaling game, authors have constructed a model, and by that model, they are able to show that quantum theory behaves in a limited way. But in this task, we have considered such a scenario in which quantum supersedes every type of theory. So this is a quantum, you can say that this is a quantum sensitive task, and you can single out quantum theory operationally in lab. So before going to the description of task, we can just categorize the type of information processing task. So for information processing task, there are encoding and decoding. So several parties are in space-like situation, and they are encoding their system. And they are decoding their system. So the encoding and decoding can be executed in two ways, either locally or globally. So in this, by considering like that, you can construct these four type of information processing tasks. In this type, there is a local encoding and local decoding, and you can think about the non-locality without entanglement task. So in non-locality without entanglement, you have the states. So the parties have the states which can be prepared locally, and they are asked to discriminate them locally also. So this is an example of local encoding and local decoding, and you can consider the LOCC indistinguishability of entanglement, which concerns the global encoding and local decoding. So an entangled state is prepared. So for preparation, the parties must be in the same lab, and after preparation, they are separated away. So this is a global encoding and local decoding like task. And for global decoding and global encoding, one can consider the hypersignaling game. And this local encoding and global decoding category concerns our present work, in which we are encoding the systems locally, and the systems are decoded in a global way. So the task is like that. So Alice and Bob are receiving n-bit strings. So the Alice string is X and Bob string is Y. And they are performing some local operations on their systems, and they send their systems to a distant computer. In the distant lab, the job of the computer is to compute the functions, this capital F and this small f. The small f is computed on the every bit of Alice and Bob. That is, small f is computed on x1, y1, x2, y2, x3, y3, and it's go on to xn, yn. And after that, the capital F function is computed on all the small f functions. So, and ultimately, we get a single bit from this dual layer computation. But হ্যাঁ, অ্যান্ড অলসো অ্যালিস অ্যান্ড বব ক্যান শেয়ার এনি কোরিলেশন অ্যামাং দেম, বিটুইন দেম। নাও নাও ওয়ান ক্যান থিঙ্ক দ্যাট সো অ্যালিস অ্যান্ড বব হুইচ বিট স্ট্রিং অ্যালিস অ্যান্ড বব আর গেটিং, দে আর সেন্ডিং দ্য হোল বিট স্ট্রিং বাই দ্য চ্যানেল অ্যান্ড বাই দ্য চ্যানেল টু দ্য কম্পিউটার, অ্যান্ড কম্পিউটার কম্পিউটস দিস ফাংশনস অ্যান্ড দ্য গেম ক্যান বি অ্যাকমপ্লিশড পারফেক্টলি। বাট দ্য টুইস্ট ইজ অ্যালিস অ্যান্ড বব আর ইউজিং আ লিমিটেড ক্যাপাসিটি চ্যানেল, দ্যাট ইজ ইফ অ্যালিস অ্যান্ড বব আর গেটিং ইন বিট স্ট্রিংস দে আর নট এবল টু কমিউনিকেট দ্য টোটাল ইন বিট স্ট্রিং বাই দিস চ্যানেল, দে হ্যাভ টু এনকোড দে আর ইনফরমেশন অ্যাবাউট দ্য বিট স্ট্রিংস অ্যান্ড অ্যান্ড ইন এ কম্প্রাইজড ওয়ে দে হ্যাভ টু সেন্ড দ্য ইনফরমেশন অফ দেয়ার স্ট্রিংস। সো টু অ্যাকমপ্লিশ দ্য টাস্ক দে হ্যাভ দে ক্যান কনসিডার they can consider or they can take help of classical theory or quantum theory or beyond quantum theory. By taking help, I mean that the correlation they are sharing, it can be classical or quantum or some other no signaling correlation, and they are encoding the information of their strings on their subsystems and send the subsystems to the distant computer. So that is how they are asked to accomplish the game. So evidently the in-bit string, that is if Alice and Bob both are receiving in-bit string, then the total number of computation is given by this number, and we have coined the task as distributed computation with limited communication, that is DCLC. So for n bit string, that is for Alice and Bob are getting n bit strings, this is DCLC n. Now this dual layer computation can be trivial or non trivial. So what computations are trivial? So if Alice and Bob are using the classical resources, that is they are sharing a classical correlation and they are sending the distant computer the classical bit, then by using the classical resources they are able to accomplish the task perfectly, these computations will be called trivial computations. And if classically they cannot win, then this computation will be non-trivial computations. So for a computation to be trivial, we have shown that at least one of this capital F or this small f is a constant function. Either of these function will be a single bit function, or if F is, that is the capital F is a symmetric function on inputs, and either this, then the computations will be trivial. So for DCLC2, that is Alice and Bob are getting 2-bit strings, then the total number of trivial computations we have computed in our paper, it will be 176. And we have made this corollary that satisfaction of any condition of proposition one, it will imply that for DCLC n, the dual layer computation will be trivial. That is, if one can satisfy, if the dual layer computation for DCLC n, any of these three conditions, then we can say that this DCLC n is trivial. So And we can also take help this proposition that perfect accomplishment of any trivial, any non-trivial dual layer computation of DCLC2, it implies the presence of entanglement in the theory. So without entanglement, one cannot accomplish any non-trivial computation. Now, this is one of our main results. That is, if this small f is a balanced function, if and only if this small f is a balanced function, then perfect accomplishment of a non-trivial computation is possible for DCLC2 in quantum theory. So for perfect accomplishment of a non-trivial computation in quantum theory for DCLC2, this function must be a balanced function. And this is a protocol for winning the computation. That is, if we consider this f as a Zor function, it is evidently a balanced function. And if we consider this function as the Or function, then the protocol is like that. Alice and Bob are sharing the 5+ state, that is a maximally entangled state. And depending on which strings they are getting, they are performing this type of local operations on both sides. And after that, they send their systems, that is, Alice sends the subsystem of 5+ on her part, and Bob sent his part to the distant computer. And this computer is measuring this observable M, that is, an M is given by this 5+ and not 5+, that is, in this basis, the measurement is performed in this basis, and by performing the measurement, they are able to compute this dual layer computation. And the second result of our work is saying that no non-trivial accomplishment with any extreme bipartite polygon model, that is, any bipartite extreme polygon model cannot accomplish any non-trivial computation for DCLC2. So all the computations they are able to perform is the trivial computations. No non-trivial computation cannot be accomplished by the polygon model. And we have generalized our result like that. So satisfaction of any condition of proposition one will imply that dual layer computation of DCLCN is trivial. So we have proposed three conditions on in the proposition one, and satisfaction of any of the conditions of proposition one will imply that for DCLCN the dual layer computation is trivial. And if the small f function is balanced, then it will imply that by quantum theory, the dual layer computation DCLCN will be accomplished perfectly. And for accomplishment of this DCLCN by quantum theory, the required resources are for if Alice and Bob are getting even bit strings, then they are allowed, then they are sharing n by 2 maximally entangled states. And if they are getting n bit strings where n is odd, then they are sharing n by 2 maximally entangled states along with product qubit. And we have shown that no success in rest of the theories, that is, no success in rest of the polygon theories. Now we have considered another version of this task where this small f is known, but this capital F is declared later. and proceeding in the same way as that of the previous, Alice and Bob are able to perform this type of dual-layer computation also. But here, the distant computer is performing the measurement in the full Bell basis. And also this dual layer computation in delayed choice version is not accomplished by the other polygon theories. So we have characterized the full DCLC, we have characterized the DCLC two tasks like that. So these are the trivial computations. That is, these computations can be accomplished by classical theories as well as by the other polygon theories. This computation, this is the set of the computations in which quantum theory supersedes all the theories, all the polygon theories, this computation can be perfectly accomplished by quantum theory. This dotted set is actually refers to the computations which cannot be accomplished by quantum theory deterministically, but it shows advantage over the other polygon theories. And this black set of the computations are the computations which cannot be accomplished by quantum theory at all. And now the summarization of my today's talk is here. So we have proposed a symmetry which is actually motivated from kinematical approach, and it does not involve any dynamical structure to propose this principle. And so the other point is that this is a party-independent simple formalism. It doesn't involve, and also it doesn't involve any state update rule. And next, I am summarizing my second work. This is an initiative to conclude the structure of bipartite quantum systems operationally. That is, in a lab, you can perform this type of experiment, and if you perfectly accomplish it, you can say that these the resources you are using is definitely quantum resources. So it is also a device independent certification of quantum theory, you can say that. And this particular task exploits all the elements of the composite structure. That is, you have to exploit the entangled state, the entangled measurement, and the bipartite composition of transformations and all. And in this task, we have shown that quantum theory can dominate over a large class of theories, even with more exotic space-like as well as time-like correlations, because for this particular task, the PR correlation or the hypersignaling correlation cannot behave very well at all. And these correlations actually are able to perform the trivial computations. This special case of the DCLC n, that is, if you consider this small f as Zor function and this capital F as Or function, this actually mimics the quantum fingerprinting. There is a result by Barman et al., where they have proposed a task quantum fingerprinting, and our task actually generalizes the quantum fingerprinting. And there is an open direction for the complete characterization of DCLC n actually, because we cannot characterize the whole scenario. We just characterize some part of DCLC 2. So there is an open direction to characterize the full task. So in my PhD, time, I have also do this work, that is there other non-locality beyond quantum theory? Because in quantum theory, we have Bell non-locality and also we have Hardy non-locality. So is there a Hardy type of non-locality in beyond quantum theory? So we have tried to answer this question. And what if events placed without causal structure? In this paper, actually, we have shown that by taking two entanglement breaking channel, putting these channels in indefinite causal structure, we have shown that this indefinite causal structure actually behaves the two entanglement breaking channel is used in indefinite causal structure, then the channel behaves with a quantum channel, that is entanglement is preserved there. And in this paper, we have shown that we have introduced a notion of state. We have introduced another notion of state discrimination, and we coined it as state marking. And we have shown that how difficult it is to discriminate quantum states by state marking notion. And in these two papers, we have shown that how one can activate indistinguishability from distinguishable states. And these two works actually, refers that how to share non-locality sequentially. So suppose Alice and Bob are sharing some non-local correlation, and Alice is performing on her system and Bob is performing his system, and up to which measurements the non-locality is preserved. That is, Bob is performing some measurement in first run, then Bob is performing some other, then Bob is again performing a measurement, and sequentially, they are actually trying to show how far non-locality is preserved. And in this paper, we have tried to construct a non-local operator. And thank you. So it is all for my talk, and
thank you so much. That was that's great. We'll take questions. I definitely have some, but I'll let other people ask. If you can raise your hand over Zoom, or go ahead and ask. Okay. Lucien, go ahead.
The GIS, this information principle you had at the beginning, do you see that as being a part of a principle that you might use to reconstruct quantum theory, an axiom that you might use to construct the quantum theory from?
Can you repeat the question?
So yeah, your principle at the very beginning, the information or the GIS.
Information symmetry principle.
Yeah, information symmetry principle. Okay. Do you see that as a principle that you might use to construct quantum theory, be an axiom to construct quantum theory?
So what are you saying?
I'm asking if you see this as a possible axiom for quantum theory.
Yes, a possible axiom to derive quantum theory, right?
Right. Have you tried to find a full set of axioms that you might used to construct quantum theory, including this axiom?
So it is a work towards the axiomatization of the quantum theory. So it can be, so for axiomatized quantum theory, it can be used as an axiom, but still there is something that is we cannot say anything about the other structure, other convex structure of the theories, because we are just considering the polygon theories. So what about the other convex structures in the context of this principle? We cannot find out such results. So, but for the time being, we can think that it can be used to axiomatize quantum theory, but there is more things to search.
Okay, and have you considered a principle like this, but rather than just two states, having for three states or four states, or generalize yes. it to more yes, than yes, two yes. states?
No. We cannot see on those areas. We cannot consider three or four states. It is only up to two states.
Okay. But why can't you consider more than two states?
We cannot see for three or four states, but it will be a possible direction to strengthen the information symmetry principle in future.
Okay.
We can.
Okay. Thank you.
Other questions? Rob, I see you turned on your camera. Yes, no?
Oh, you go ahead, Ellie. Sorry.
Okay. So on the GIS principle, I guess intuitively what it sounds to me like what you were arguing is that there's a notion of qualitatively similar states, right? This is GIS, and how do you express it in a two-dimensional sense that these two states geometrically have sort of the same flavor, and yet they sort of give rise to sort of an asymmetric probabilities under an optimal minimum rare state discrimination. And it seems like what you went with is this. When we decompose them into two distinguishable states, we can find a decomposition with the same weights. But I was thinking, wouldn't it make perhaps more sense to sort of appeal to some notion which generalizes unitary equivalence? So what I'm thinking is, take your state space, and then you have linear transformations on the state space, right? These take rotations, reflections in higher dimensions, any linear transformation. Some linear transformations, if you look at the extremal points of your state space, if it's a polytope like or a polygon, will correspond to a permutation of the extremal states, right? So like if you have a pentagon, you can do a rotation. That is, it's linear and it corresponds to the permutation of the extreme points. But you can do a reflection on a hexagon. You can't do a reflection on a pentagon because it's linear, but it doesn't sort of preserve the extreme points to go to other extreme points, right?
I'm not getting your point. You are asking about the transformations, right?
So I'm saying consider like. What I would imagine we should think of as a valid GPT analog of a unitary, which would be so I would think like the GPT analog of unitaries, and correct me if you think this is wrong, would be a linear transformation which on the extreme states acts like a permutation.
Yes, so not all possible permutation. Only
right, so some permutations correspond to nonlinear transformations.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, because I'm going to hold up like a little piece of paper. So here I've drawn a pentagon, and like two dots on the pentagon, which they're the same under a reflection, but there's no linear transformation which acts on the pentagon which would transform one into the other, and preserve the pure states.
No. Rotation also preserve the.
It does. But see, so rotations would, but you can't do a rotation of the Pentagon to take this point into this point.
Which point is which point? So you see my slides. So this is a Pentagon.
So it's like the in red. I've got like a little dot and a small line to the nearest vertex.
They're not in the middle of the line, right?
They're not in the middle of the line.
Yeah, so
these are like they're like, let's say, one-third down to right. Now the point is these two dots. If we just applied your GIS symmetry, I would say like, they admit the same sort of weights in a convex decomposition. But there's no GPT analog of a unitary which would transform them into the other. So I would say like they're GPT, they're not unitarily equivalent.
For two-level quantum systems, we are considering the two-level quantum systems. Mm-hmm. So for two-level quantum systems, the quantum state space is the spherical state space, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And since for GPT consideration, we are only taking the equatorial plane of that quantum system, we can take reflections or rotations as a transformation for all the GPT systems, because you see that if you consider reflection or rotation for the equatorial plane, this mm-hmm. actually in three dimension refers to a rotation. So yes. Actually, this reflection and rotation is analogous to the unitary of quantum theory.
I agree, but I think that like
can you see my slide and can you can you name the which states will not go to which state for rotation? So suppose it is you are taking omega zero, okay.
Mm-hmm.
This is
not meant as a criticism. This is sort of meant to sort of say like, could we sort of say that if there is a valid linear transformation which acts as a permutation on the extreme of points, which takes one state to the other, then we should say that they are sort of like GPT unitarily equivalent, and what you would expect is that that's when your principle of information series, your principle of information symmetry should suggest that any two states which are relatable one to the other under a linear transformation, which is a rotation or reflection or the appropriate sort of thing, then these are things for which you would expect that the minimum error state discriminations have the same probabilities. And if no such minimum error state discrimination thing exists, then it's a violation of the principle. This is just sort of I'm proposing rewording of what you're saying.
Okay.
I just think that if we do it this way, it's a little bit clearer how we would sort of generalize this to maybe three dimensions or four dimensions, because it's not
yes. You can generalize it in three or four dimension, but we have not done this work, so it is the open direction. And okay. In three or four direction, three or four dimension, you also have to construct this type of linear transformation or reversible transformation. But we cannot construct up to this. We only are limited in two dimensions. So it is an open direction.
Sure. Yeah. So I think reversible linear is the key idea there. In the second part of your talk, you talk about these DCLC functions where there's you can get sort of non-trivial possibilities using quantum theory, but if you consider all of the extremal ways to construct compositions using pentagonal local systems, there's no non-triviality. When you talk about extremal I'm assuming then you're saying not just that the local state space is a polygon, but that the composition rule is either minimal tensor product or maximal tensor product. Is that correct? When you say like an extremal?
Yes. Extremal means this, actually the theory falls in this category, this type one and type two. And for type three, it will not show any advantage over type one and type two. It has been shown in our paper.
Well, so here's where I guess I want to sort of clarify things. Consider your local state space to be a circle. Okay.
To be a circle, yes.
To be a circle, right. But now apply either type one or type two. So either maximal tensor product or minimal tensor product. We're going to go away from quantum theory here, right? Because if you take maximal tensor product, then you can have this super powerful notions of entangled states, but you have no entangled measurements. And if you consider the other, then it's... But the protocol that you described in quantum theory, which gives you this sort of function, involved sharing an entangled state, and then at the end, after the parties perform their local transformations, also performing an entangled measurement. And I would wonder, like, if you're going to say, like, I don't have access to both those, you only have entangled states or entangled measurements, but not both, then even if your local state space is not a polygon, maybe that's enough to sort of break it. And so I'm wondering, like, is the fact that DCLC becomes trivial, is it really a consequence of the fact that you're using polygons? Or should I say, no, it's not that it's a polygon. The problem is that by choosing extremality, you're forbidding either entangled states or entangled measurements. And for these protocols, you need to have both. And so you can have the same problem with a circle.
Yes. That is the key point, because to accomplish the task, we need the entangled states as well as the entangled measurements. But for the extreme models, if you have the entangled states, you cannot have the entangled measurements, and vice versa. And if you are taking local state spaces as circles, we have calculated that if we are taking the circles, then also this cannot work in this scenario. If you throw your spherical structure and just take the circular structure, then also you cannot perform any non-trivial task.
So this makes me confused, because you said, like, if I prove it for type one and I prove it for type two, then it also follows for type three. But now we're talking about the fact that a circle of type one has no advantage, a circle of type two has no advantage, but quantum theory itself is a circle of type three where there is non-triviality. So it seems like it could be the case that, like, a generalization of box world where you have some entangled states and some entangled measurements would still give you, even though it's polygonal, advantage of DCLC, like non-triviality.
Can you please repeat? What are you asking?
Could we have non-trivial DCLC accomplishment using polygonal state spaces, polygonal effect spaces, but where the composition is such that it's not...
It is on the intermediate composition. Yes. You are asking.
Yes.
So if you are considering, yes, it is possible. You can construct a hypothetical model in the discrete in those discrete theories also, where you are taking sum of entangled states and sum of entangled measurements. But the problem is, then you cannot allow all the reversible transformation possible in those theories. And this actually limits your accomplishing. We have taken that some entangled states. And by looking on the entangled states, we are taking the entangled effects, right? So you cannot take a reversible transformation by which these entangled states will transform in some other entangled states which you are not considering for that particular model. Then you cannot have a valid probability by that entangled measurement, right? Am I clear? So you are taking some entangled states and you are throwing the other entangled states away, right? So suppose in pentagon theory you have 10 entangled states. So you are considering 5 entangled states and other 5 entangled states you throw away.
And the problem here is that local transformations could potentially take you out of the state space.
Yes. Yes. So can you understand?
I think I do, but what you've convinced me at this point is that using one of these sort of like hybrid models, the task is perhaps ill-defined, because if we say like this is my state space and this is my effect space and these are my local transformations, you have to sort of make sure that it's self-consistent, and because there are local transformations which would take entangled states to entangled states, but ones which should not be allowed in your theory. but saying like you could end up with these inconsistent ones, I guess I'm not totally convinced that there couldn't also be some sort of consistent one where you could say like, well, here's a protocol. We're not going to use all possible local transformations. We're going to limit ourselves to those local transformations, which we've checked, keep us such that all entangled states go to actual entangled states that we're considering. And similarly, all entangled measurements go to entangled measurements under the same things. And maybe you can find an example. So saying like, it's hard to search over this space, I agree. But to say like it can't exist is less clear.
Yes, it can exist for some other hypothetical theory. I agree with that. But it is a question to find out such hypothetical model. In this bipartite polygon model, it is not possible, for sure.
Nice. that sounds right. And then the last question I would have is just one of curiosity of motivation. You chose to sort of take these states which had symmetry under convex decomposition and say that we'd expect symmetric probabilities in a minimum error state discrimination. How did you come to MESD as the task for which you wanted to have these equal probabilities? Like, why not go with zero error state discrimination, which is, you know, a three outcome measurement, or is any other like operational task where you could say like the probability should be balanced? How did you come to think about minimum error state discrimination as the task which sort of reveals this operational asymmetry?
So you are asking for three outcome measurement. So we are considering two states.
In your own sort of like how you did the research, and where did the idea of sort of saying like, let's specifically look at minimum error state discrimination because there's an asymmetry which is going to show up there as opposed to asymmetry in some other task that you might do.
I'm not getting your question actually. So what are you asking? That we are considering two states. Mm-hmm. We are considering two states and a minimum error state discrimination measurements have two outcomes. So what about if we consider higher number of states, right? So three states or four states, and for these we have to consider three outcome or four outcome measurements. Are you asking this question?
No, I'm not. I'm not. But that's also a good question to ask. What I'm asking is, if you say like I'm going to give you two quantum states which are unitarily equivalent, which are connected under reversible linear transformations,
and which are connected.
The states are symmetric states. The states have this GIS property.
GIS satisfied.
Let me go find some task which is a protocol involving these states where the role of the two states in the protocol is the same, right? Like there's no sort of different way I treat the left hand state versus the right hand state, such as minimum error state discrimination. Minimum error state discrimination says it doesn't matter whether this is the first state or the second state. It's just here are two states. We sort of consider like just some measurement. We get these sort of like it happens to be that there's four probabilities involved: the probability of the first measurement on the first state, second measurement on the first state, vice versa. Our objective function, which we want to minimize, right, is something which is symmetric in the two states, which is, you know, we want to minimize the probability with one half weight this. But I could imagine other tasks, right? So, for example, the zero error state discrimination is a different task than a minimum error. Minimum error and zero error. Zero error says you're not allowed to ever guess wrong. So what is the measurement that you would perform if you can never guess wrong? So now it's not a Hellstrom measurement. It's one where you just perform some POVM.
It's unambiguous discrimination. Maybe.
See,
unambiguous.
Unambiguous state discrimination. Yes. Yeah, but we are not considering unambiguous discrimination, state discrimination. Yes. For information symmetry, we have to consider the error, error probability, and that will be distributed symmetrically. This is the principle. If there is no error, then we cannot say anything about the information symmetry, about the satisfaction.
No, but you could. So you could make up completely new principle, which would say, like, consider unambiguous state discrimination, which such that you maximize the probability that you're able to make a correct guess. So now what we're doing is we're minimizing the probability that you sort of have to throw up your hands and say, I don't know which state it is. So the probability that you say, like, I can identify which state it is, you try to make that as high as possible. You consider any measurement which makes that, that being able to guess is as high as possible. Now, in that set of being able to guess, there's the probability of guessing state one, and there's the probability of guessing state two. So I might propose a new principle, which is that in whatever optimal, unambiguous state discrimination measurement there exists, the probability of correctly guessing, the first state and correctly guessing the second state should be the same probability. And if it doesn't, then, you know, it's an operational task where there's an asymmetry despite a symmetry at the task at the state level. Right? Yes. If qualitatively, so I'm just wondering, like, among all tasks that you chose to sort of highlight that there's an operational task which manifests an asymmetry, despite there being a symmetry at the state level, like, why did you particularly choose MESD?
Yes, you can think of like that. And for this unambiguous state discrimination, the principle will transform in another, will transform another way. So for these, for such kind of principle, we cannot consider the unambiguous state discrimination, and we cannot say anything about the status of the unambiguous state discrimination in the context of information symmetry. So it is it can be a new work in this direction. That is, you are considering the unambiguous state discrimination, and you then you are considering the polygon structure. So what will be the status of that state discrimination? It will be another question. But in this context, it will not fit into. And so why we are considering minimum error state discrimination? Because we have, because we are seeing that there is a measurement in nature which can symmetrically discriminate the states. But if we consider the hypothetical models, then we cannot construct any such measurements. Mm-hmm. Although they are mimics, although these polygon structures mimic many non-local phenomena or many quantum-like phenomena. Mm-hmm. But why quantum theory possesses this type of structure? Why quantum theory possesses such spherical structure? Or you can, for this information symmetry, we are just considering the circular state space. So why quantum theory is circular? Even though some non-locality, so if you, so there are some papers by Janotta et al. So they have exhibited that for the Ortgon theories, the maximum Bell violation will be up to 2 root 2. Then why we cannot take the Ortgon theory as the quantum, octagon structure at quantum. Why we are taking the circular structure? So in this way, you can single out the quantum structure, the quantum geometric structure. There is a paper by Muller with some bit symmetric and reversible transformation. And in that paper, Muller has shown that all the octagon theory satisfies the bit symmetric principle. But by our principle, and our minimum error state discrimination work, we have ruled out all the polygon structure, that why nature cannot be a polygon structure.
Right. Okay, thank you. Very, very interesting. That this last question was just out of curiosity, but I certainly appreciate the power of the result that you have. So it's very nice.
Yes. Thank you.
Yes, thanks, Shutapa. It was a really interesting talk.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. So in the absence of further questions, we will thank the speaker and pause the recording. Thank you so much.